or 14.286 before I could get my power block up there. Of course, they were on their way, but keep an ear open for that. All right, over to you, my friend, WA3VJB,
formerly now called KV3V. You know, special event. I'll give you five. This is W0. Victor Mike Charlie, go ahead there, bud.
Of course, just when you get used to it, we'll all go back to the regular calls again. W0VMC in the group, WA3VJB, K3V. And a good transmission by all. Well, I had one of the earlier CRLs, the peak limiter that was out there, and I passed it along to somebody else who needed it, and it actually is serving another life. So though even the older ones that CRL doesn't support anymore continue to soldier on as a very, very stout unit. I've just found the performance of the things very, very good. Although Scott McDougall out there at CRL/Orban, since the two companies have now merged, told me that they're eventually going to phase out their support for some of the older CRL stuff, like the ones we've got. And for the time being, they've got a program where they'll take the CRL unit and completely go through it, replace any of the caps that have dried out, and implement any of the revisions that took place after the particular production run that the unit, came through during. And generally meet or exceed all published specifications. And I think the price on it is like, a few hundred bucks per unit. But I don't know, I've come into a second set of Pacific Recorders and Engineering units from Paul, VE3KHZ, who had both the modulimeter and the AM Max. And I really like the way the PRDs behave. The audio compression scheme is a lot more gentle. It does its job, and you can hear that it's doing its job. But for some reason, it's a lot less gritty than the CRL, which really are intended to be loud. I mean, that was probably the peak of the AM loudness wars, was when the CRL was able to do its thing. The digital delay Orban, which was able to take the input program material and check where the high spot was and nail it before it let it out the other end. That was almost a different approach. But for real-time processing, the CRLs are considered some of the loudest ones around. I think Bob Orban really will go down as the loudness king when it comes down to it. Although I wonder how much more of that discussion will really take place in the digital world, where you sort of get away from the compression scheme to some extent, I don't know, and get more into dynamic range and extended fidelity that you didn't find in the analog world. Maybe it'll come back, the loudness war thing. I know they're already doing it on some of the satellite channels. They already seem to be rather highly compressed, some of the music channels that are on. I noticed it not only on the DirecTV dish that we used to have, but also on the fiber optic service from Verizon that we've got that also has some music channels on it. It uses a Canadian music service known as Music Choice, which I guess is a competitor to the music channels that XM offers. And each of them has a certain amount of compression on it. Some of the Latin channels have less compression on it, and some of the oldies channels have more compression. And then some of the rap channels seem to have no compression at all to let the thumping of the subwoofer come through with all its dynamic glory. So it's interesting to see what sort of scheme they apply to the dynamic range of those channels. It's kind of hard to tell what to expect. And the 20K, I think I've seen a picture of that. I meant to comment on the last go-round. I think the 20K has some aluminum grid work over each of the observation windows. And the doors open like a pair of barn doors, if it's like the one I've seen. 833s left to right. And they've got these flat, look like about an inch wide grid. Three or four vertical bars, two or three horizontal bars across the observation windows of the transmitter. And the meters, yes, they're all across the top as you described. And the one I saw, I think it was an eBay auction, was kind of dirty, and it was missing a lower ventilation panel that allowed the entire lower part of the transmitter, like the first foot up off the ground, to be exposed to, the cat or anything else that might want to get up in there. But that was the only time I'd seen one also, and I've never... And Steve, you mentioned KD0HG up on the big 85. Why don't those guys come down here? Room. So, I don't know. Maybe they're in there, maybe they're not. Try your feet a little bit, Larry. Let us hear. W8ER and the group from K3 Victor, Annapolis.
Okay, Paul. Budley, why don't you go ahead and pick it up and then toss it to me. WDBIL, W8ER.
Yeah, okay, Larry.
W8ER, WD8BIL. Boy, I love these chairs with wheels. I was on the other side of the room running some resistance checks on the RCH receiver.
Troubleshoot that.
It's blowing fuses immediately. And, which kind of rolls out the... Well, it doesn't, but the next thing I should do is pull the rectifier and see if it still blows the fuse immediately. If it does, then it's either the power transformer or the bypass caps they got on the AC line. But that's what I was doing, listening good all the way around. And when you guys start talking about the broadcast processors and stuff, it's fun to listen to. I'm not too familiar with it. Yeah, I mean, I'm running the... The Shure SE30 here, and I picked this one up out of a AM station down in Texas. A friend I went to high school with, probably 2 or 3 years after I'd gotten here in the AM here, he called me and we had been keeping in touch. He says, "Hey, you do that amateur radio stuff, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, we got some stuff here you might be interested in." And I said, "Oh yeah, what is it?" And Paul, that's where some of the tape transports came from.
I think you were busy or on a phone or something.
WADR. I think, yeah, I'll listen out here and, I don't know, maybe I'll stick around, but chances are next time you kick it over to me or... Larry kicks over. If I don't come back, just move on. I might make this my final. If that's the K73, guys, and hopefully we'll catch you before Christmas, maybe tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, but if not, have a very Merry Christmas, as Robert will be saying here, for I'm sure. And we'll catch you later on down the log here. W0VMC. W3Z and K3V. This is WD8BIL.
Okay, Budley. WD8BIL, the group is W8ER. Very good all the way around. Signals are still holding up very nicely. And this morning, I guess, by now. And, we'll see you later, Bobby. I think I'm going to sign out on this one, too. A couple of comments.
Robert, I'm going to have to talk with you about this CRL.
There's some information I'm sure you have on it that probably would be a good idea for me to bung up on, so I'm going to make it a point to get in touch with you about that. And as far as those little teeny tiny kits... like the soft rock receiver was, Steve.
Yeah, that.
The one thing about the receiver from Japan was that it's discrete components. It's not. It doesn't have anything to do with surface mount. The DDS board that came out for it was surface mount, but the receiver itself, but that's completely assembled. The receiver itself is just a neat little kit. Takes a couple hours to put together, and performance for the price is absolutely terrific.
And Robert, on the
Perseus receiver, or the Perseus receiver, however it said, is
I had the same experience with them.
I've written to a couple of the people who are supposed to be involved with it, but when I didn't get an answer from the order pages and the distributors. So as a result, and not getting any answers, this SDR-14 popped up on eBay at about half price, so I grabbed that.